life in the space of Miraval underground to descend, that men are always afraid and not the same. Saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me on my adversary. And he would not, for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. He shall not, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And I just thank the Lord. Hallelujah. He's allowed us to go through these trials. That, you know, God uses the devil. There's a scripture that says it. God, hey, let me tell you something. God had a plan, just like he did with Job. He wanted us to go through these testings and trials. And what does it say? It says, count it all joy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just like with this mic here tonight. You know, there's a purpose. There's a plan. There's a reason for everything that happens. But let me tell you something. Just because you might have heard a prophecy, and you might think, well, it didn't come to pass by that guy. You know, what's wrong? I guess maybe, you know, who knows? He missed it. You know, he told us within a year. Hey, look. What does it say? It says that she didn't give up. She didn't give up. She talked to God. If you talk to God day and night, he is going to avenge you speedily. But you doubt not in your heart, just like it said. And he says, when I come back, will I find faith? And what did Jesus rebuke his disciples for the most? Their unbelief. They didn't believe him. Why were the children of Israel left? Because they did not have faith. Their carcasses were left in the wilderness. God is looking for a person that is not going to give up. No matter what, no matter about the winds or the waves, they're not going to look at that. They're going to put their trust in the Lord. And when they come against him, that's when you just get in alone with God and you pray through when those winds and waves come. And you just thank him, and then you get into praise and worship, and you start feeling the anointing of God. Hallelujah. He will hear you. He is hearing you, and he is setting us free. And this is the hour. And I thank God for this ministry. I praise the Lord. I know it was the God, his divine timing. It was God, this is the hour, just like he said. This is the time. And I do believe that we are going to see a lot of these people who have tried to, they were selfish ambition. They exalted themselves, and they thought they were doing it in the name of God. And they are going to be the ones that are of faith. And God's going to lift up, just like he said. I heard it prophesied by another man before, that God is getting ready to unlock the people that are in prison, the ones that are bound, just like he was saying. This is the hour. And he said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And that's what we're going to be judged by. We need to walk in love. For true religion and undefiled before God is to take care of the widow and the orphans that God has really been laying on in our hearts. Listen, God is going to equip us to be able to help people in these last days. I really believe that. He is setting us free, because that devil has had us bound financially. He's had us bound physically. He's had us bound. God is avenging us of our adversaries, and he's doing it speedily. Praise the
Lord. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. So hand cut tonight. Y'all didn't know this is going to turn into testimony service tonight.
Amen. All that rich, beautiful testimony right here, we would have never heard tonight.
Right.
If it weren't for me having to fool around with this thing. We're going to find out that everything works.
Just like Sister Buckley was saying, we can't fathom it with our mind, but we serve a God who orchestrates even those things that we have entered into of our own accord at times. Somehow, even the mistakes we make, not to give us account, you know, not to take accountability for the decisions that we make, but God can take whatever situation and turn it around, because he is a God of redemption. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Give the Lord a hand clap, because I think this thing is working.
That's what happens. what happens when you move from Texas and you put something in a box and don't see it for 9 months.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yep. You threw away the book that came with it.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you tonight. Come on, praise him tonight.
Thank
Amen.
You,
that's all right. You got no place to be.
Thank
you. The buckets, you want the buckets
right.
Are where they need to be.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus. They got the shortest drive of anybody. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight. Amen. And I believe this is that time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We worship you tonight. Thank you, Father. We worship you tonight. Amen. That's all right tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Where is that generation today?
Yes.
And I know it becomes redundant, but there's some things that need to be just driven into the ground that finally we'll grasp it. One of those is, what does it mean to be chosen in Christ?
Yes.
Amen. And if there's something chosen, that means there's something that was not chosen. And it wasn't chosen for a devil's hell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. There's some little tidbits in that book there. That, you know, that open up your mind to expand a little bit around God's Word. There's more to it there. Amen. And what meets the eye, Paul spoke about something called common salvation. Ever since I saw that, I wonder what is common about. Salvation is not common. Amen. But there's a different type of salvation. There's those that are going to receive common salvation. Amen. But there's those, listen, come on. Does not the Bible say how will they hear unless somebody preaches? So that means that somebody has been chosen to bring that message. Come on, there's a company of sons today that have been chosen, come on, to bring a message that's going to bring the children out of outer darkness and into the kingdom of God. Amen. And we were talking about, what is that kingdom and where is it? I want to see that kingdom. There's a manifestation of God's kingdom. Did not Paul declare that when I came to you, I didn't come to you with, come on, with excellency of speech, but I came to you in the power of the gospel? Well, I want to see the power of the gospel today. I hear a lot of preachers talking about the power of the gospel. Amen. But where's the demonstration of that thing? There's a dispensation that we're going to see. And I believe that came in, that God just reinforced it when that prophecy came in. Amen. I've been waiting too long and talking about miracles to die off and come on. Come on, just have a good testimony, but never having seen the movement of God's hand, the way God is, come on, the way God has desired to show forth the manifestation of His hand. And I believe we're in that time. Come on, if God's got to pick somebody up off the street somewhere, if He's got to go find a prostitute somewhere that's got seven demons, come on, He'll use that today before He uses somebody that has got a title and a business card as well. And running a school somewhere trying to teach people about spiritual things them having never received. Come on, an unction of God's Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If there's a Spirit, thank you, Father. Amen. There's too many running around here. We don't need a school of prophets. We don't need a school to teach somebody how to do. Come on. If you've been given something by the hand of God, let me tell you something, baby. It knows how to operate on its own. Come on. I wonder where somebody was found. Come on. That schooled Elijah or Samuel's well or any other prophet. What school did they attend, I wonder? Come on. Where they learned to be what it was that they were ordained to be upon the foundations of the earth. Come on, somebody would help me tonight. If you've received a real, come on, if you've received this calling of God's Spirit and you've been chosen, let me tell you something. Did anybody have to teach you how to breathe air when you came out of your mama's womb? Did anybody have to teach you how to hear with those ears? Come on, I said there's things. Why is it that nature today? Come on, who teaches the eagle how to fly, I wonder? Come on, who is it that's got the GPS as well? That's at the flock of all those birds that fly south every winter. That they all end up in the same place every year. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. My God. There's something innate within you that when you come in contact with that thing. Come on. I said it's going to lead you in the way you should go. Come on, it's going to become the defining point of your very existence. To where you're no longer, you may be in the world, but you're not of the world. You may be in the flesh, but you are spirit.
Yes.
Amen. And you're going to walk according to God's Spirit. And will not there? And let me tell you, with that generation, will there not be a wisdom that goes beyond just what a man can can apprehend with his own IQ today? Come on, I said that if you get the Spirit of God, I see people talking about they got the Spirit of God, but they don't have the mind of God.
Yeah.
I see people talking about they got the Spirit of God. Come on. But they don't know what God's saying in the realm of the Spirit.
Yes.
Come on. If you get the Spirit,
yes.
If you get the Spirit, you're going to get the mind that comes right along with it.
Yes.
And when you get the Spirit of God, you're going to get more than just a tongue in your mouth. Yes. To roll your R's and come on, tap your S's off as some do. Come on, you're going to get more than just a word in your mouth.
Yes.
But it's going to be a demonstration of God's Spirit.
Yes.
Listen. And the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to get a mind like God.
Yes.
And you're going to be able to understand things.
Yes.
Come on, you're going to be able to see things from God's perspective.
Yes.
And you're going to recognize if you can see things from Him who set us on the circle of the earth today, are you going to be concerned about anything that's going on in your little broken down piece of eternity?
Amen.
Come on.
Thank you,
Jesus. And we all need to learn from this because we're flesh.
Yes.
And the flesh, listen, does not the Bible declare that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak?
Yeah.
And you're bombarded. Come on. Listen, you can't get rid of the flesh. I don't care how long you fast, you're not going to kill off this flesh until they put it in the ground somewhere.
Right.
Come on. And as long as you're in the physical body, let me tell you, you're going to have trouble.
Yes.
Amen. I said, you're going to find out that there's something that's written into the members of this body.
Right.
Come on. That even Job declared that God hath imprisoned me in sinews and flesh. He has imprisoned me. How many know that? Come on.
Yes.
How many recognize that this physical, come on, this physical temple, come on, is only a retainer. It's only a confining thing. That right now, if your physical body were to fall off, amen, and everybody, come on. If all of a sudden you would just to take your last breath and fall out in the middle of the floor today, if you've been walking with this God and you know the Spirit of this God, let me tell you there's something that yet remaineth, and what remaineth is that thing that was first with God in the beginning of all things. And my God, while everybody's weeping and crying and calling 911, my God, you're going to be able to, in a moment's time, come on, understand all things. Because the only reason we can't understand the mind of God, for those of us that have been given the Spirit of our God, is because of that thing called the carnal mind that doesn't understand the things of God, nor can it receive those things. So stop trying to convince your carnal mind of spiritual things that it's never going to grasp. And on top of that, stop trying to kill off the flesh. By pushing away the plate and fasting. I've seen people that fast until they, you know, that's all they do is fast. And and they're never ready for anything.
Yeah.
They've got 1,000 prophecies about some great thing that God has given them to do on the earth. But every time you talk to them, because their flesh rose up somewhere, they're off on another fasting adventure to try to kill that thing off that can't be killed off.
Right.
Come on. Is this helping somebody out tonight?
Yeah.
Come on. Paul said, when I would do good, why do I find evil present with me always?
Yeah.
Amen. Why is it he said, the thing that I would do, I do not, but the thing that I would not, that thing I do? How many read that confusing scripture?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God for somebody who's honest, standing in the house of God. There's not going to be preachers today that's going to declare that word. Come on, and he didn't elaborate on what it was that he was guilty of. We know for one thing that the Bible declares that he was party to the murder of Stephen, as well as to others, that he held the coats, and was a spectator as well as in agreement when they killed a man. But I wonder what it was that Paul was bothered with, and I wonder what it is in front of somebody that you're bothered with tonight, that you're just going to have to live with that thing and recognize that you're not going to burn it out, you're not going to fast it out, you're not going to get rid of it, but there is an overcoming spirit that when you begin to live with that spirit, it knows how to put the flesh under subjection and keep it under subjection. And the few moments of time that you have when the flesh does rise up and you walk according to something that's not according to God's Spirit, it doesn't change the fact that you may have been chosen with Him and were in His Christ before the foundations of the earth. And in the end of all things, you are a part of that Christ. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for breaking down in P3 play, because this is better than where we left off, isn't it? Come on. What is it that's with you? That you can't see it when you look in the mirror? come that it's not moved by whether or not you have physical infirmity or not. It's not bothered whether or not the banker's knocking on your door and about to kick you out in the street. I heard somebody talk about it, about when they tried to wake Jesus up and Jesus was sleeping in a sinking ship. And I wonder how bad it was. These were men that knew the sea, that were raised up. They didn't just go down and, join the Navy one day. Because occupations were generational. And you can bet that Peter's daddy and Andrew's daddy and Simon's daddy, that they've been fishing. And his great-grandpa probably been a fisherman. Is how they made their living. So these were people that were not, first day on the job people. I wonder how bad it was that experienced, seamen and mariners are screaming at the top of their lungs, "Don't you see we're going to die?" But even more, I marvel, what was it that was with this man Jesus?
Yes.
That he was in the midst of this great turmoil and chaos.
Yep.
Not even awakened by the storm. It was the disciples it was the screaming of the disciples that woke him up.
Yeah.
And somebody said, I heard a preacher one time say that they appealed to his tenderness and his mercy, but when he woke up, there wasn't anything tender about his rebuke.
Right.
Come on.
That's right.
He was having a good old sleep.
Yep.
Because he knew that they were going to get to the other side of that thing.
Right.
Come on.
Yep.
And there's an aspect of that being called Christ that is with you right now.
Yeah.
If you be the temple of God, then there's a Christ somewhere. Come on the lower decks of your ship, baby.
Hallelujah.
Come on, when you're belling out water, there's something there. And when we begin to learn to live to that Christ, come on, we will have access to all things that are in the realm of God's kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody better praise Him tonight.
Hallelujah.
What is the kingdom of God? Where is it, and when are we going to see the manifestation of it? We talked about the fact that in that Bible, the Bible says there were thousands of people that Jesus laid hands on, that He healed, He delivered. But yet it was not given unto them the kingdom of God.
That's right.
He declared, it was not. He declared boldly, I don't care who says everybody's going to come into the kingdom. They're not coming into the kingdom the way that they think that they're going to come into the kingdom. And the kingdom is going to surprise the people when they do come into it. Because when you come into the kingdom, there's a dominion along with that king. And when you come into that kingdom, you become subject to every commandment and decree that comes by the mouth of that kingly rule. Come on, I see people talk about being in the kingdom, but they're choosing their own way. I see people talk about being in the kingdom, but they're thinking their own thoughts. I see people talking about being in the kingdom of God, but they're preaching another gospel that is not a kingdom gospel. A gospel, and just because they use the word kingdom doesn't mean that they are preaching something according to God's true kingdom. Come on. There were many that were touched by that kingdom. But Jesus said at one time, listen, he who is marked as having great compassion and mercy, and being acquainted with much sorrow and anguish, and a man who was moved to tears by his love for the people, that he would not allow them to stay in their infirmity because of his great love for the people. But yet the time came that he plainly declared, as for these multitudes that I have healed, and these masses I have delivered, I am not committed to this group of people. But he said unto you, another time they asked him, Lord, why do you teach? And you teach the people in these parables. Why don't you just make it plain? And he declared unto them, it is not given unto them, but it is given unto you to understand these things. I don't care who's preaching a message, that everybody's going to come into the revelation of this thing. I've yet to see it, and we're not going to see this thing come to pass. It didn't happen in his day. There was only 12 out of thousands that were there. There were only 12 people, and everybody today's worried about building a big church and gathering a whole bunch of people. Well, I can tell you, if he's our pattern son and he's the example of what ministry is, you can gather the thousands, but at the end of the day, you're liable to have 12 that are really standing with you. And one of those is going to deny you three times before the evening is over with. Another one's going to be a devil, but he was chosen. Come on, the Bible says that he had part in the ministry. How would you like to have that part of the ministry? Come on, somebody had to play it. Come on. My God, you might be surprised who's in heaven. We get there and it's, come on. Amen. Somebody had to sell them out. It was prophesied. If this thing's prophesied over your life, that are going to, come on.
Yeah.
drive you and focus you and manipulate things. If you've got a real Word of God in your life, let me tell you something. God's going to stack hell at your doorstep. He's going to manipulate everything He can, because His purposes, many are the plans of a man's heart and many are the desires of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose. If there's a purpose that God's put upon your life, let me tell you something, come hell or high water, if God's got to throw you off the ship in the middle of the ocean, Jonah, you're going to go to Nineveh before it's over with. You may not like it. You may get mad because the sun's beating down on your head. You may not even care if God saves Nineveh, but He has put you there, and you can have an old bitter spirit about it and be mean-spirited as well. But you are there because God has ordained you to be in that place. I wonder what it is that this time next year we're going to find your hand put to, and I wonder wherein your feet are going to be found this time next year, at the close of this next year. That you've never entered into that place, that you've never stepped toward it. You may have had prophecies about it. You may have dreamed dreams about it. You may have had a promise of God about it. But there's a time that God's going to open a door over somebody's life, and He's going to grant them entrance into the kingdom of God. And when you come into the kingdom, you're not coming into the kingdom broken down and just barely making it in, but there's going to be an entrance given abundantly into the kingdom of God, that the things that you've been without and you've suffered without, I heard somebody say, God's going to equip you to get this gospel out and to make a difference in this last dispensation. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Well, somebody better praise Him.
Amen.
Come on, because most people just want to be touched by the kingdom. They just want to be healed, and they want to be delivered, and that's all right to start there. But my God, after a couple of years of being prophesied to, you ought not to have need to be prophesied to.
That's right.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen. I wondered, after about a year and a half of getting prophesied to every Sunday, going to church looking for prophecy. You know what I'm talking about? Taking those tapes home and marking right where that prophecy was, and listening to it, and setting up a whole library with all your prophecies. There came a time I didn't even want another prophecy. Amen. And I thought that God was mad at me. And I thought the preacher was mad at me. My God, here it is. He won't prophesy. He prophesied to him and her and everybody else. But I didn't recognize that God had accounted me as a little bit more mature. Amen. Somewhere we got to learn to stand up. To where I don't have to have somebody lay hands on me. I don't have to have somebody pray on my behalf. I don't need somebody's prayer cloth. I don't care if it is anointed. I want to find it. If they've got an anointing, then lead me to that source of that anointing. Come on. If they pay the price to come to something, and if God has ordained me to have, I said, if God has ordained me to have that same thing, then all I've got to do is take hold of the keys and walk where that individual has walked, and it's going to lead me to that same thing. Hey, come on. Somebody praise Him. Somebody better shout. There's a people today that they're fast. They're going to do more than just lose weight on a fast. They're going to come to something. Come on. Not everybody's going to pray. It's a dead message. Who's going to pray? Those that recognize the value of prayer. Who's going to pray? Those that desire a spirit, not like unto man, that only prays when he needs something. But those that desire the Spirit of God. When you get the Spirit I'm talking about, and I believe we're going to come to a full manifestation to where the Spirit of God is going to drive us into a place that we never get into, where we're going to pray and pray and pray, and we'll not only be doing something externally, but we will come on internalize, because there's going to be a Spirit that resonates with us. Come on. Let me tell you, what's going to come out of that prayer? Come on, what's going to come out of a prayer that the Spirit prays? Come on, what's going to come out of a thought that the Spirit thinks through a man? What's going to come out of the mouth? Come on, and the mouthpiece of speaking, that the word in that individual's mouth in that moment of time becomes joined with the very unction of God's kingdom. And they're no longer standing as an individual who is only in the flesh, but all of a sudden the Spirit of God steps into that temple and makes a declaration that causes the very creation itself to come to stand to attention at the voice of Him who birthed that creation. Thank you, Jesus. Come on.
Oh, hallelujah.
What's going to be found with you, I wonder?
Yes.
Oh, how about these people?
Yeah.
I'm this and I'm that.
Amen.
And pushing their books, their texts about how you can be one of these things too.
Yeah.
Come on. And the people hungry just eating everything up because they're trying to get to something.
No.
Amen.
No.
I've been accused of being a little bit prophetic, and if that's true, let me tell you what I've had to go through to get to it. You may not want to have a car that says prophet. Come on. You may not want to go around declaring yourself to be, I'm God's son.
Yeah.
Amen. Because to whom much is given,
amen.
I said much is going to be required.
Right.
Amen. Come on. Most people are just a put on.
Yeah.
Come on. In the church as well as in the world, people play the games.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
People today that go online and come on and buy themselves a PhD and then try to leverage themselves into corporate America somewhere.
Yeah.
Come on. It's no different than the people that go out there and try to leverage themselves.
Yes.
Come on, all you got to do is examine these things. You look at these little groups of people, and there's always half a dozen people. He approved her, and she approved him, and that one approved both of them, and they two approved him.
Right.
Come on. Now we get us some corporation papers. Yes, I'm telling you the way it works. In LLC, my cop, we got a school of profits for only, come on. You can join it for only $1,600 a month, $1,600 a year. Amen. We'll teach you how to be a prophet. Come on. Well, who teaches a lion how to go out and find his dinner, I wonder? And who teaches an eagle how to fly? Come on. And who teaches a fish to do what it needs to do? I said there's something that God's going to reveal unto the people today.
Yeah.
Not everybody, because some people just want an outward reality. Come on, some people want a kingdom over there.
Yeah.
Come on. Some people want a scapegoat.
Yeah.
Amen, they want a scapegoat.
Yeah.
That's what they want. They want some external reality of God.
Yes.
Amen, to where they've always got to be tied into that thing. You've always got to listen. I'm tired of hearing that if you listen to this tape, it's going to take you into the kingdom of God. If you've not been appointed to come into God's kingdom, then that tape's not going to do anything but maybe soothe your soul.
Right.
I'm tired. Come on, I'm tired of this book. Another book's not going to get you into the kingdom of God. I said, what is going to get you into the kingdom of God is to hear the voice of God's Spirit.
Right.
Follow after the leading of that Spirit.
Yeah.
If you are His sheep, you're not going to follow another voice, but you're going to hear the voice of Him. Come on, who birthed you? The bishop and the pastor of your soul, as you are part of His pastorship. Let me tell you something. You're going to know His voice, and to that individual who knows the voice of God, they will not just be touched upon by the movement of God's hand. They'll not just receive a miracle. They'll not just receive prophecy. They'll not just be a partaker of that supernatural thing, but they will be brought, come on, by the hand of God's divine ordination into the kingdom of God, to where they walk not only in the kingdom, but they have the ability to dispense and, come on, to open up a dispensation of that kingdom wherever so the Spirit leadeth them. Come on. Thousands of people who are in ministry. And I've seen only a handful that when they speak, something in the heavens opens up. And you leave, come on, you leave out of that meeting and you receive something that they didn't bring it in their bag. They didn't study it on Saturday night because they are, come on, they are sometimes not even a willing vessel, but they are there because they have been driven by the Spirit of God. And sometimes they don't even want to be there. They don't even want to be there in front of the people. They don't even want to open their mouth. And on the way up to, come on, the meeting, all they did was say, God, I hope nobody shows up tonight because I don't feel like preaching tonight. Come on. Why is it some people you can put a tape on, and somewhere in that tape, every time there's a spirit that shows up, and other tapes you can listen to and you get good revelation, you get a good shout going on. Why is it, come on, that there's tapes of people and audio people and video people that you can look at that have been dead for 50 years. And there's still a resident portion of God's Spirit. Amen. Come on, that you don't have to look for it. It just comes right out of that piece of media, and it just and come on, and come on, the deep calls unto the deep. Come on, and the chime of that individual spirit, though they're dead according to what men think dead is, they're yet living because their spirit has shown up right there in that moment and has ministered something unto you. Come on. That's what we need today. We don't need another this or another that. Or another camp to be that or to be this. When I first came up here to Harrisburg, I had some lovely people approach me after being a meeting up at Ma Bailey's one night. After they saw the Spirit move, they came with inquiring minds. You know, inquiring minds always want to know. And they wanted to know, how do you do that thing? What, do you see something special in the people? Does the Spirit tell you this? I said, the whole walk is by faith, brother, sister. You just move knowing that you're moving according to His will.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Right.
And then they said, well, we have a school.
We have a school.
We have a school in Lancaster. We want you to come here to this school. Instruct all the young, prophets coming up. They did. I kind of looked at them for a minute. I said, I'm trying to be gracious. I said, I don't understand what it is you want. Well, well, you can just tell them, And finally I said, it doesn't work like that with me. It may work like that with somebody else.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just, I go where the Spirit leads me to go.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Sometimes I see something on people, come on,
yeah,
at the beginning of the service, but it's not time to release it.
Yeah.
And I can see it every time I look at that individual. Many times, my God, I'll be ready to close out a meeting and not even see something about somebody, and all of a sudden, my God, especially when it comes to prayer, that's why I tell you, in these meetings, you better start moving around and start praying for people.
Yeah.
Because when I first started out, I didn't go around calling people out. I just prayed for everybody that I could. And when I prayed for people, the Spirit would show up and begin to reveal things. And that's where that gift began to come alive. And come on.
Yeah.
And Paul told Timothy, you make sure that you stir up that most holy gift,
yeah,
that is in you by the laying on of hands by your mama and your grandma. You can't just wait for the mantle to come alive. You do have to stand up and become what God called you to be.
Amen.
I'm not trying to get to something. I'm not trying to get to God's heaven. Come on. I'm not trying to become something. I'm already the totality of what God created me to be. It may not have manifested outwardly yet, but I'm making steps toward that thing. And every day I'm coming into a greater place with God, to where I'm more sensitive to the Spirit of God, and that Spirit that's there is resident within me, and all I've got to do is be aware of that inner man that is there and begin to live somewhat to that inner man and give the inner man the things that he needs. And let me tell you, he knows how to put the old man under subjection. He knows how to put the outer man down. He knows how to rise up, because with that inner man and with that Spirit is the very subjective power of God's dominion kingdom.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you. How do you get a drug off of drugs? Let the Spirit get on.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes. Amen.
How do you change somebody that's got an old, foul, mean, murdering spirit? Why do you see so many people that they claim to have the Holy Ghost, but there's no love of God with them? Come on. I've seen people that they're gifted, but there's no love of God with them. I don't want this part of the package.
That's
I don't want just a little fragment of what God is. I don't want a gift. I want to receive the Spirit of my God. If I truly become the temple of my God, and He takes up an abiding, and if I abide in His words, and His words abide in me, and if I continue with Him in His words, and continue in the way He's leading me, let me tell you, sooner or later, that Spirit is going to be seen. Come on, it's going to be known. It's going to be manifested, and you won't have to testify that I'm a this or a that. Because creation, as well as the world that's around you, is going to say, look at that person.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Been in ministry for my God, almost 20 years. And I still see such a precious thing when I see a man or woman of God in their element. Come on. When I see somebody who moves by the Spirit of God, and see the marvel of them, I'm just as much in marvel of it, having seen it hundreds of times and having walked in that performance, because you recognize that that is not something that you choose for yourself, and you don't put it on. If it's a real gifting, if it's a real mantle, if it's a real ordination, it's just there, and it knows when to show up.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on. And David wrote a little bit about, this seven things that are too wonderful to behold.
Yes.
I mean, read some of those things.
Yes.
I believe one of them is a ram. And
yes.
Come on the side of a mountain. Why? It's his element. I was made for this. Come on. I was made for adversity. I was made for trouble. I was made for the struggle, because it's forming and it's fashioning me and it's making me. And let God, the flesh might not like it, and the outer man don't have anything to do with it. But let me tell you, this trial's good for me.
Yes.
And this struggle's good for me, because if I come out to this thing. I'm a little bit more like Jesus. And I've got the power to overcome and put you